I do not think.
So what are you getting at?
Yeah, I'm off.
Do you even listen to yourself when you talk?
Hey, we're live! Woohoo!
Turn off your radio before it's too late!
Hated it.
I told you this was a bad idea.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's get a football question far more suited to Greg Bedard than this nonsense. Here's Ernie Revere on a backup offensive lineman. Go ahead, Ernie.
Yeah, Greg, what happened with Ted Karras? He can play two positions. They had him ISO'd on TV last week, showing how he loves to hit people. He's bigger than Andrews. And between him and Shaq Mason, Brady's going to get killed.
Okay, Ted Karras, you talked a lot about Ted Karras, unfortunately, on this show. But he was released, right? So what's the story there?
That was one of the more shocking things on Cutdown Day. I mean, just because I know Scar loves him. He could play center in both guard spots without any issues. You know, he's not the most athletic guy in the world, but, man, he's just one of those nasty guys that you like to have around. And, I mean, hey, they judged it right. They got him back on the practice squad. So, you know, it's relatively all good. But I thought the big shock was, well, they kept both Cam Fleming and LaAdrian Waddle at tackle. I don't know what that tells us. I mean, I don't think any of them are really any good. They just don't. I think Tony Garcia was supposed to be the next guy, but he has some sort of illness. He won't be able to play this year. One of their draft picks, and then
so that Garcia's done for the year.
Yeah,
that illness thing is for the year.
Yeah, I think because once you clear PUP and then you put on during training camp, I'm pretty sure he's done for the year.
Oh, if they put him on PUP?
Well, no. They put him on NFLI non-football illness list. I don't think he can come back from that.
Wait, okay.
But
that's enough talk about the backup.
Wait, well, hang on, one more.
I almost texted you when Karras got cut. I almost texted you. You were telling me that 4 weeks ago he was going to be the starting center.
Well, he was getting starting reps at center. I mean, he was, and then I don't know what happened. It didn't seem like his play came off that much. But the big thing was they kept Cole Crosston, who was not on my radar
Still not
summer.
On mine. Who's
that? I mean,
no idea.
He basically plays guard. He's played some tackle.
Okay, I told you you're on probation from the backup offensive line talk.
Ernie wants to hear. Let Ernie hear.
Cole Crosston.
Who's that, Mass?
No idea.
You ever heard of that chap before?
No idea. Cole Crosston.
Never heard of that fellow.
Yeah, laugh it up when he's out there starting week three.
Let's bring some sense and order to the proceedings with Dan and Quincy.
Does he play the tuba?
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
First of all, I think the Brissett trade was absolutely stupid. They didn't get. They should have got another draft pick in the trade, in my opinion.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because the Colts were down Andrew Luck. They didn't like their backup, and there were no other quarterbacks to get in the NFL. And Brissett just had a great preseason performance, and his stock was higher than they got. Now, if Belichick made the call, I don't know who made the call first. I don't think Belichick would have traded him if Edelman didn't go down.
It was the Patriots.
Did anybody ask Belichick that question? Not that he would have answered it.
No, according to Peter King, it was the Patriots called the Chiefs and said, what do you think about Brissett for Dorsett?
Okay, so you lose a little leverage there when you make the call first. But in my opinion, they should have got a third-round draft pick in addition to Dorsett. I like Dorsett as a player, but I never – look what happened last year. Brady was out with a suspension. Garoppolo played a game and a half. He got hurt, and Brissett got hurt after that. Now they're screwed. And as far as long-term, short-term, like, contingency plans are great, but Belichick is smart enough to know that. Right now, all you need to worry about is that Brady's your starter and Garoppolo is your backup. Why would you think beyond that, Felger? The NFL.
Why would you think beyond that? Then why did they draft Garoppolo in the first place? You always have to think ahead. Bill said it, quote unquote. We all know Tom's age and contract situation, Danny. It's better to be early at that position than late. So that is not. They did not draft Garoppolo in 2014 for 2014. They drafted him for now. So you are always thinking ahead. And when the Patriots say that they're not being honest.
All right, let me answer that question. That was 3 years ago that he said that. Now, the NFL changes. 1 week in the NFL is like a year. Okay? Dogs have it made compared to the long-term prospects on the NFL. The season changes three or four times every 4 weeks.
So what's your point?
Okay, my point is this. The longer Brady proves that he can play, all right, I don't think he'll ever end his career unless he gets an impact and ending injury to his knee or his brain or whatever it may be. But all things being equal, as long as he can play the way he is, then he's the quarterback, Garoppolo is the backup, and if they win another one and Brady wants to come back, then they're going to reset on the backup.
Of course, exactly. Yes, that's right.
So did Danny actually say that without Brissett, they're screwed? Did he say that? Or did he mean last year without Brissett, they would have been screwed?
A little both.
Both are wrong.
Oh, my God.
They could have found someone else to run the wing T or whatever they ran
Edelman
against.
Edelman could have run that.
I could have run that. Forget Edelman. Well, holy crap.
I don't know if you would have gained the edge, but Edelman would have.
And Jacoby Brissett was a third-round pick. And he thinks that what Jacoby has shown so far, he should have gotten more than Dorsett should have been a second-round pick. He was overdrafted by the Colts. They should have gotten more than that. They should have gotten, for Jacoby, another third-round pick. Are you kidding? People just overvalue the players here. I just don't understand.
And Mass, of course they have contingencies. I'm just telling you.
Here we go again.
I'm not engaging.
Hashtag contingencies.
They know what's going to happen, and they know what their decision's going to be. That's it.
Well, they can't possibly know what's going to happen.
They do.
Because no one does. But have an idea of what they think will happen.
Either they know Brady's retiring, or they know Brady's going to be really good and they're going to go really far, in which case Brady's going nowhere.
Okay, well, if Brady's retiring and they know it, well, then, you know, everything is moot. Like, it's easy, right? You know, if they have had that conversation, then it takes all the intrigue out of it.
This whole premise, though,
that's easy. Anybody can make that decision. Brady's walking, Garoppolo's the next guy.
Exactly.
Boom.
Right.
Done.
So it's either that or it's the other thing. And they know. And they know how it's going to play out. There's going to be no gray area, meaning Brady's not going to fall off far enough for them to say, well, we have to move on from Brady. It's not going to happen. Brady's going to be really good, and they're going to go really far. Does anyone think anything else? Does anyone think anything else?
I just don't rule it out.
Anything other, I do. I rule out anything other than Brady looking really good and them going really far. That doesn't mean, you know, winning the Super Bowl, but that means Brady's going to be a top five quarterback, and they're going to go to the AFC Championship game. Anything else? I'd be stunned. I'd be floored if anything else happened.
Okay, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. I mean, there is the possibility that we will be picking you up off the floor.
Okay.
However small and remote it is, I'm just telling you
and
that.
And it still won't be enough for them to bench, for them to trade Brady or release Brady or let him play for another team.
Okay, and I don't know what the solution is either. I'm not telling you I do. I'm just telling you that they probably have different scenarios lined up, because anybody who's in that spot that doesn't have the answer yet would try to have a solution for every scenario.
Two scenarios. That's it. Two. One, two.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey guys, buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you're planning a day out with your boys, searching for a last-minute deal, buying a gift for a loved one, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Because nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, you get closer to the action for a great price. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your price range. SeatGeek has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available as well. Best of all, new users get $20 off their first purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LIVE today. That's promo code LIVE for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. See it live with SeatGeek, right seat, right now, right from your phone. Download the SeatGeek app and enjoy the games.
No one says it like they do. Like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you, nuts?
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
10 questions, 10 topics in 10 minutes. We have to be on time. We have buzzer options and a production element from Murray. So again, I'm sorry, I didn't square it away with you guys how we're doing this. Are we doing Murray's things or your buzzer options, Jimmy?
The things that I put together, I think, are probably the most appropriate way to do it, but that's up to Jimmy. He's the one actually producing the show.
So sure, let's do Murray's things. I have buzzer options, but we can do the questions.
Let's hear the buzzer options just for fun.
Late round draft pick.
Good hook. Thank you.
Sheldon Richardson, also Jets trading.
Marshall.
We know he has back knee. What's not my problem?
Okay. Look at Eduardo Nunez.
Yep.
We don't have any power.
You don't have any power, says a rubber man. Today's Tuesday, right? That's so annoying. Is it last Tuesday or this Tuesday? On Tuesday, today.
Your bad business is okay, but mine's not.
Less bad.
Okay.
I like that one.
Your bad business is okay, but mine's not.
Less bad.
Okay.
Okay. Question number 10, league MVP. Are we playing something?
Who will be the league MVP?
Like it's even a question. It's Brady. You better say Brady, Bernard, if you want me to sign up for your website.
Very good. Who will be the league MVP?
Brady. Just to show you that my questions about him are not
play-related. Wait. Your biggest worry on the team is Brady.
Yes, because he's the quarterback. His health is the biggest worry in every season, especially at 40.
But he'll be the league MVP.
Yes.
So you must not be that worried.
No, I told you.
It's now known as the Greg Bedard paradox. Do I get to vote on this? Or no, do I get a vote
yes,
on
yes.
this?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh Steelers. I think between the holdout, the whole thing, the Steelers, it feels to me like are full bore. They got all their weapons. I think he's going to have a huge
year. Week one injury.
Yes, a muscle injury by week two. I'm with you. Murray, who do you got?
Brady, of course. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Brady.
This will be an Aaron Rodgers year for you guys.
Late round draft boy pick.
Thank you. Okay. Do we have a defensive player of the year?
Who would be the defensive player of the year?
Come on. It's Hightower. Hightower, Bernard. Say it.
Who will be the league defensive player of the year?
J.J. Watt.
You know what?
He's healthy. He's the defensive MVP.
I thought about him. He was an easy pick, though. I actually went off the board a little and went with Landon Collins, a safety for the Giants.
What?
That is off the board.
Yeah, he had a hell of a year last year. The Giants have a good defense. I think the Giants are going to win that division. I went with him.
Awesome. Do you want to weigh in, Murray?
Yeah, give me Khalil Mack again. He's a stud.
Too obvious.
Today's Tuesday, right? That's so annoying. What's the next one here, Murray?
Who will be the NFL's coach of the year?
I don't even need to say it.
Bedard.
Anthony Lynn, Chargers.
Oh, my God. The Chargers?
They'll go from 5 wins to 9. We'll get him in the conversation. And I think he's a good coach.
See, I was going to pick whoever wins the AFC South, whether it's Tennessee or
Malarkey.
Houston. So, you know what? But I couldn't bring myself to pick Malarkey. So, I'm going Bill O'Brien. That's who I'm going.
Dirk Cutter, Tampa Bay. The team's going to win 10 or 11 games.
So, you're buying in on the Tampa hype?
I am, yeah.
Turd Cutter.
Okay, next one.
Who will be the rookie of the year?
Guy Bernard, say it. Adam Butler, he's the best. The guy's the best.
Excellent. So, you know, stupid me, there happens to be in the NFL an offensive rookie of the year and a defensive rookie of the year. You can give me whatever.
Connor McDermott.
No, I don't think he's in the running.
I had Myles Garrett for defense and Christian McCaffrey for offense, Panthers running back.
I only picked one, and I went Christian McCaffrey. I think he is going to be a stud for them.
Hey, the only one that comes to mind for me is Dalvin Cook, running back for the Minnesota Vikings. He's had a good camp, apparently, and he was a stud in college.
There you go. Next.
Jameel Douglas.
No, he's not going to be the guy.
Who will be the tool bag of the year?
Roger, you sucker, you you.
Latest in the series, this is now the prediction. It's now a tool bag prediction time. Who's going to end up being the biggest tool bag by the end of the year?
Man, you took my pick again. I think this should be the Roger Goodell Memorial Tool Bag of the Year Award for the NFL. It's Roger. He'll screw it up.
Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys. I think it's already started, and it's going to go all year long. He is going to be a complete tool. Snap-on tool he is going to be by the end of this year.
I love him. He's talented, but it doesn't feel like Odell Beckham Jr. is just going to blow up again somehow. It's going to be some kind of story involving him, so I say Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, you know, the perennial favorite will once again come in. Jay Cutler is going to be the tool bag of the year.
Who will be the NFL's most improved team?
Pats, come on! You know it, Bernard. You know it, now say it. The Pats. Next question.
Will be the most improved team in the league.
I have the Carolina Panthers. because I think they'll go from 6-10 to possibly winning that division with, I think the Falcons will take a step back with the Super Bowl hangover.
So, I'm again going back to the AFC South. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans.
You're big on Tennessee this year, man.
I do.
You?
I think Tennessee's going to be pretty good. Again, as long as they can, the coach doesn't get in the way, I think they get a chance to be a good team. I do.
They Bucks. Were 9-7 last year.
Yeah, Bucks for me. If Winston can cut down on the dumb interceptions, and that's a gamble, I think the Bucks.
Okay, so that's your most improved team. What's the next one, then?
Who will be the NFL's most disappointing team?
All of them. F***ing all of them. Jets, Bears, whoever. They all f***ing suck.
Bedard.
Falcons.
No good one.
Easy one. Falcons. You'll never see them again.
I went Oakland. I think Oakland's going to be a huge disappointment.
That's another one.
That feels like they're coming down fast.
That can't last.
Oh, especially with that whole calamity out there in Oakland. Like, oh, God, it's bad. It's got bad news written all over it.
No question. Agreed.
Dallas for me. Feel like 9-7. Other than that offensive unit, like the defense, who the hell do they got there? Linebackers are made of wheat. It just feels like they're going to come down to earth.
Who will be in the AFC title game?
Pats and some loser. Final score, 52-0. Next.
Give me the AFC title game and the venue, please.
Steelers at Patriots.
I also have Pittsburgh at New England. Yep, Pittsburgh at New England. No question about it.
I'll go New England at Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
How's that?
Ooh.
They'll have to win on the road. Not a problem there for them, usually.
Mortar kick. Oakland at New England.
So you're still buying on Oakland?
I am, yes.
You would.
What is the Super Bowl matchup and who will win?
Pats and whoever, Dallas, Green Bay, whatever. It doesn't matter. Pats, 48-10.
Oh, this is so good.
Patriots, Seahawks. Patriots win.
Pittsburgh and the Giants. Pittsburgh wins.
You have Pittsburgh coming in here in the AFC title game and winning.
Mm-hmm.
And then them shipping Brady's ass out of here.
I did that last year.
Yep. Pats, Giants, and the Giants win.
Oh, there you go, Murray.
That's a classic.
18-0 going into?
No. They're not going.
That's a classic, Murray. So you got New England losing at home to Pittsburgh in the AFC title game. Then again, I'm sorry, the Super Bowl, Maz?
I have Pittsburgh beating the Giants.
So Pittsburgh's the Super Bowl champion here.
Yes. Yep. I think this is Pittsburgh's
Mike
year.
Tomlin.
I know. I hear you. But I do like the Joe Hayden pickup. It feels to me like Pittsburgh has recognized its weaknesses. They got Martavis Bryant back. Like, Pittsburgh's good.
Okay, I got Green Bay over New England. Oh, that's going to be so good, too. And I'll just tell you why. It's just from one comment that Aaron Rodgers made after last year. He said, we got to start playing these games at home. Like, it's finally dawning on them that you can't sleepwalk. I've said this before. Through half the season. And then just flip some switch in the postseason and expect to win conference championship games in Seattle or Atlanta or keep pulling things out of your ass like you did in Dallas. Or, you know, that's no way to live. You actually have to, pay attention during the regular season, commit to playing a full 16 games, getting home games, and I just think maybe that comment tells me that they're going to approach the year like that and actually be home and actually get there, and then you're going to have the one we've all wanted, Aaron Rodgers v. Tom Brady. That's what we're going to get in the Super Bowl, and the Packers will win that one. Last one.
What will be the Patriots' record?
19-0. You better say it. You better say it. I ain't signing up to Boston Sports Journal, Bernard.
14-2.
I get him at 13-3.
So, Maz has the over. Greg has the over. What do you got there, Murray?
12-4.
12-4. I got the under as well. 12-4. They will be under.
Ooh, what a controversy. We're two wins apart.
I know. It's like, and we'll be the a-hole, believe me.
19-0. They're doing it.
Do you still have them?
19-0.
19-0.
They're going to beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Not that you asked.
Okay, I've asked. So there you go. Those are 10 predictive questions for you. We got the Brady stuff on the board. Whatever you want, right back to your phones, I promise, with Bedard here in our Town Fair Tire Studios after the update.
Felger and Maz.
Hey guys, it's Danny Parkins, and you guys know that I've been using the SeatGeek app since I got back to Chicago, and buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but with SeatGeek, it's the best experience I've had for buying tickets. It's the smartest, easiest way to get your tickets to every game all season long. So whether you're planning a day out with friends, searching for a last-minute deal, or buying a gift for a loved one, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. They also have concert, comedy, and theater tickets available. But best of all, new users get $20 off your first purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LIVE today. That's promo code LIVE for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. See it live with SeatGeek. Right seat, right now, right from your phone.
This is Felger.
The man is beholden to no one.
And Mass.
I don't really know what to expect.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, I believe Tom Brady when he says he wants to play another 5 or 10 years, whatever it may be. And I also believe that the Patriots showed their hand this offseason when, just as Adam Schefter reported, they did not trade Garoppolo. And so, I believe the new play is this. Felger, I think you're wrong. I don't think the Patriots would never trade Brady. I actually think that they are looking, or they will be looking for a situation much like Paul Pierce, where the player is allowed to leave the organization and help the organization's future at the same time. Because I think that's the only way a player leaves Boston without getting tarnished. And I think the ownership is aware of that, and I think that, you know, there's an element of truth in all of this.
Well, I don't know. It's just a prediction, and I disagree with your prediction. I don't think the Crafts are going to let Tom Brady play for another team. That's all. Simple as that. If he retires, then we get Garoppolo next year. If he doesn't, it's Brady.
I mean, on some level...
And then there's nothing to decide. It's already been decided.
So I will tell you that if Brady has already told them that he's retiring, or he's, you know, there's an understanding there. So, like, to me, it almost takes the fun out of it. And when I say the fun out of it, like...
It takes the challenge out of the decision.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy. Everybody knows, you know, you just move on. Brady walks, you give it to Garoppolo. End of story. No controversy, no nothing. Like, and when I say no controversy, you know, look, it's talk radio. Obviously, we're interested in controversy. Like, that's the best stuff. But I also think that it makes it... Anybody can make that decision.
And again, the reason I'm firming up my opinion so much, Greg... It's just because, you know, things that you have and others have said is that they're going to wait to let this year play out before they make up their mind. I don't think that's how they operate. I don't think that's how they operate. I think they plan out in advance and have things plotted out in advance and don't just let, you know, one game or 1 week or even 1 year get in the way of what they think is a sound long-term decision. Or, you know, and so I just think, like most everything else, they've got it all planned out. And it's going to go down the way they think it's going to go down.
I just agree with Tony that I think they have different contingencies, and then they'll see where they are at come mid-February, because they don't have to make a decision until then. And I don't really, I would be surprised if Kraft and Belichick have had that many discussions about it yet, because they don't need to. If there's going to be a disagreement down the line, they don't need to be having it now. They can have it in February. There's no difference.
I can't imagine they're going to sit down and hammer out their decision in February.
Okay, so listen.
It's just not how they operate.
So I'm throwing a what if at you here, okay? But what if they've made the decision, what if they're committed to going with Garoppolo, but Brady wants to play?
That Brady changes his mind.
What do you mean Brady changes his mind? Brady wants to play. Let's say that Brady's not retiring, but they're committed to going with Garoppolo. Then what?
Oh, so then I don't think that scenario is in play. I don't think that exists. I think if
they'll trade Garoppolo.
Yes, exactly.
Scenario.
Yep, that's right.
They'll tag and trade him.
Yep. I'm starting with the Brady side. They are not going to trade or release Tom Brady, because this I can take to the bank. Brady's going to be really good this year, and they're going to go really far. They're not going to go 7-9, and he's not going to look like Peyton Manning at the end. So he's going to be coming off a playoff year in which he's a top 10 quarterback, at least probably top 5, probably top 3. And so then what? There's, you know, the evidence that Greg is supposing is just not going to exist, and I think they know it. And if he gets hurt, so what? You come back from almost every injury. I did give you one wild card, that if somehow out of the blue he develops like some sort of back problem or a neck problem like Manning, like something like a nerve, you know, something weird.
Sure, sure.
Weird something, like that, but
yeah,
I'm telling
that would be life-altering, not just football-altering.
Exactly. A regular football injury, even if he goes down with a regular football injury. If he wants to keep playing next year, he's playing next year in New England.
See, I think they have a list of things that they will do depending on what it looks like. And
right,
keeping Brady's probably at the top. It is.
I think it's because he's 40 and because this is not a 30-year-old player that we're talking about, or 32. You know, we're talking about a 40-year-old quarterback, and it's uncharted territory. So they need to get, like Tony said, I think it's year to year, you know, how they're going to handle this at this point.
They're not going to base their decision on the way Brady looks this year. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That's, again, my prediction. I could be totally wrong. I've been wrong before. Tyron in Tennessee. Go ahead, Tyron.
Yeah, Felger, I don't even been a wild card at you. What if this is Belichick's last year? How about we talk about that? What if this is it? What if this is as simple as Belichick covering all grounds, not leaving no stone unturned? He's keeping Jimmy just in case something happens to Tom. He's got a capable backup quarterback can come in and still win games. Belichick wants to go out winning his fifth Super Bowl. So what if this is last year? Let's not forget the interview in April was
doesn't impact Brady. Days. Doesn't impact Brady. Let me answer you. If it's Bill's last year, they're still keeping Brady if he wants to play. It's independent of the Belichick thing. They are not going to, prediction, they are not going to let Brady play for another team. So if Bill retires tomorrow and Brady wants to keep playing five more years, Brady's going to play for five more years. I mean, I don't want to say that, but, you know, for the next couple. If it gets stupid, if Brady does start looking like Dan Marino and Peyton Manning and he wants to keep playing, can we revisit that? But in the short term, where he looks the way he looks and he wants to keep playing, he's going to be here no matter who the coach is.
Well, if Brady's still playing well, I don't think they're going to move him. The problem then comes in what they do with Garoppolo. And I just don't know that they're going to let Garoppolo walk.
So I give you a 2% chance, 2% that they would franchise Garoppolo.
One quick question for you. Why do you think Brady has not received a contract extension yet? Where his contract, he's cheap this year, then the next 2 years, he's expensive. I think that's how it is. Normally, by now,
you bet,
he's gotten a contract extension that lowers everything, pushes it off another couple years. Why? And we heard about it. There were reports in the wake of the Super Bowl. There's a contract extension being hammered out, whatever. That has not gone down. Why is that?
Okay, I've come up with a lot of answers for you today. I don't necessarily have the answers to all of them, but it's possible that he's told them he's retiring after the year.
Sure. Again, if that's the case, then we're talking about nothing.
So he's going to be a fraud. All this talk about 45,
yes,
50.
Yep, he's going to have to go back and walk back a lot of crap, most notably to your ex-boss, Peter King, because boy, did he lay it on thick with Peter King, among others. But yep, we're going to go back but I think it's possible that they just so don't want the Brett Favre situation, whereas, you know, is he in, is he out, is he retiring, is he not? You know, and holding the organization, I think they don't want any of that distraction or any of that back and forth. So he's saying because he's going to play five because he's really going to play one or two.
So I don't remember if you were here, Greg, but let's say that this is his final year. Would he ever announce it?
See,
Brady?
I don't think he'd be that
not
guy.
During the season.
Okay, No. I don't think he would announce it before or during. I think the only you find out at the end, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here. So what better, if he's getting a 40 and people start asking, when do you see the end? What better way to just eliminate that whole line of questioning than to say, hey, look, I'm planning on playing 4 or 5 more years.
True, but, you know, Brady's the master at deflecting questions and not saying anything. There's certainly a non-answer that Tom Brady can come up with that he can keep saying over and over again, whether he just says, look, at this point, you know, nobody thought I'd be able to play at this point. Right now, I'm just going year to year.
See, I disagree. I disagree. I
think if he says going year to year, that opens up, this is your
exactly.
last thing. Right? He can't do that.
That's why I don't think he can give a non-answer, because a non-answer leaves open the door that it's this is possibly
even
last
if he didn't
season.
Say year to year, he could say something. You know, how many times has he been asked stuff point blank, and he's like, you know, that's not something
yeah, no,
I
no.
think about right now.
There'd be a different answer.
Yeah,
right.
There would be a different answer.
Okay, but even that answer, that's not something I'm thinking about right now. He didn't say no. I just think it would lead to speculation that at any moment his retirement could be coming. By saying it the way he's saying it, and look, I'm throwing crap against the wall, but by saying it the way he's saying it, no one's talking about Brady retiring this year. Nobody. Nobody thinks he's retiring at the end of the year. I mean, we talk about it, but it's not like it's a national story. I could totally see him saying, well, look, I said what I said to Peter King and some of the other people, because honestly, I wanted us to focus on the season. I knew it was going to be my last one. I didn't want it to be a distraction.
He could also say, I felt that way at the time. You know, I mean, he could just... He's planning to retire, but at the end, the story is, you know, I just realized after this one specific game, Giselle came to me and we decided. So everything I said before wasn't a lie because at the time I believed it, but, you know, like, that's an easy out.
You know what I want for you guys? I want him to retire, and then the whispers start from the different camps. Oh, Tom's getting an itch. Tom thinks he could still play.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, ooh, man, that stuff good. Was brutal with Favre.
Bad
oh,
for the
man.
Team, but
he
good
goes,
for business.
Favre goes on Letterman. I can remember it like it was yesterday, watching Letterman, and he says, you know, something about, yeah, I might get an itch. And then that was headlines for like a week. Oh, man. Nightmare.
Especially if Garoppolo sucks at the beginning.
Yes.
A long commercial free segment right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey guys, it's Danny Parkins, and you guys know that I've been using the SeatGeek app since I got back to Chicago, and buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but with SeatGeek, it's the best experience I've had for buying tickets. It's the smartest, easiest way to get your tickets to every game all season long. So whether you're planning a day out with friends, searching for a last-minute deal, or buying a gift for a loved one, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. They also have concert, comedy, and theater tickets available. But best of all, new users get $20 off your first purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LIVE today. That's promo code LIVE for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. See it live with SeatGeek. Right seat, right now, right from your phone.
This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a hypocrite.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, it's electricity for sure. I love the electricity, and I love being electric. So I like that word.
And I said tomorrow night, Thursday night.
Thursday night.
No, that is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. You got
what, what day is it?
Today's Wednesday.
Tomorrow night.
Today, Tuesday.
Continue.
Andy reads one
say
of these
today.
Great. Andy reads a really good with preparation time. He's really good coming out of bye weeks. You know, season openers, they've won two straight, I think, 7 of 9. So I think the big X factor is, what are they going to do with Tyreek Hill? Because he has shown that he's grown as a receiver. He's not just a gadget guy like he was last year and a special teams star. He now, there's talk in Kansas City, I don't believe this, I haven't seen it yet, but of him being Antonio Brownish. Which I'm just like, okay, slow your roll. You're not that good.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
But you don't know where he's going to line up. I mean, because there isn't a whole lot of film with him in this new role. The preseason stuff you can't really look at. It was very vanilla. But he's the big X factor. I think they are going to bang the crap out of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, whatever chance they can get. And, in fact, all the Chiefs receivers are pretty soft. And so I look for Stephon Gilmore, Malcolm Butler, Eric Rowe. They're, you know, physical cornerbacks. It's time to shove some people around. And I think they do that. I think the Chiefs have trouble.
So Hill also has a reputation of being soft?
No, but he's smaller. And, you know, you can be physical with it. He's going to be sort of like the Marshall Faulk type guy, where he comes in ghost motion a lot, all this stuff. And they run a
ghost,
lot of things.
Did you pick up that one, Mass?
Ghost motion.
Ghost motion.
Yeah, is that like... What the hell is ghost motion?
At the snap, he goes, boom! What is ghost motion?
And it basically they're just running motion to distract the defense. And it doesn't really matter.
I thought they run in motion to find out whether it's zone or man. And if he follows you, it's man. If he doesn't, it's zone.
That's... For real motion, this is
that's
just,
real motion.
This is just
this is ghost motion.
Yeah.
This is distraction. This is just to throw him off.
Yeah, let's just have him run across the formation for the hell of it.
Ghost motion.
I like that.
Defensively for the Chiefs, Houston. You know, look, when he's healthy, he's still one of the best players in the league, and he'll be on the left side. He'll be opposite Marcus Cannon, so I don't feel too badly about that. On the opposite side is D Ford against. Because Holly's on pup lift still, but against Nate Solder, it's a little bit concerning, but I'm not a big D4 guy. He's small, it can be shoved around. Solder's just going to have to watch his pad level.
I mean, I know this is stating the obvious, but when you look at the roster, like, if the Chiefs had a quarterback, like a quarterback who could make plays, they'd be scary.
Yep.
They really would.
And a head coach who could figure out
the clock.
Game management. And
yeah, the
clock.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, Kelsey's a good player. Hill's explosive. Like, they got a running back issue, I get now, right?
Yes.
Okay, but on defense, they got players all over the place.
They have players, yeah.
Holy crap, between Houston,
Barry,
Peters, Barry, all of them. I mean, they got a million. Is Johnson still with them?
Yep.
Okay,
Derek Johnson.
And he looked pretty good in the preseason.
They got a million players. They do. They got a million. If they had a quarterback, they'd be dangerous.
Well, maybe that's why they went and drafted the kid.
They.
Oh, I think that's a big reason.
Yeah. They are pretty weak at cornerback opposite Marcus Peters. So I expect the Patriots to, and that's Brandon Cooks' side. So I expect a lot of double moves, things like that. You know, I think the big thing is, well, Kareem Jackson is their running back because Spencer Ware got hurt. Jamal Charles is no longer there. You know, Jackson's explosive, but man, in some of the preseason games, he doesn't see the holes at all, and he'll just run in the back of blockers. Their offensive line is pretty good. They've come a long ways, but I you know, look, it's going to come down to Alex Smith. Every time you play the Chiefs, it comes down to Andy Reid making game management issues and whether Alex Smith is going to fit the ball in the tight windows. Because the Patriots are going to make him do that, and he doesn't like to do that.
What do you expect from the Patriots? Do you think there's an unknown about how they're going to look offensively? Is it, you know, have they been playing possum? Is there going to be something that we're not expecting when tomorrow night rolls around?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that we haven't seen. I mean, I think the big thing is, well, not so much Cooks. Yeah, I mean, they're going to use him as the home run hitter. But I think the big thing is, how are they going to use all the running backs that they have? And especially, how are they going to use them in the pass game? Because one of the Chiefs' weaknesses goes right to one of the Patriots' strengths. You know, stress the linebackers. Whether it's Houston gave up a huge play in that playoff game against the Steelers, they, you know, figure out motion to get Houston on a guy. D Ford can't cover. Johnson's 35. They've drafted a player at the other inside linebacker spot and made two trades. So they don't feel good about that spot either. So I would flood the field with running backs and say, good luck. Try to cover Deion Lewis and James White and Rex Burkhead and whoever else.
Who's going to start in the slot in place of Edelman?
I think it's going to be Hogan. I think that when they go either two backs or two tight ends, or one back, one tight end, excuse me, two backs and one tight end, I think the two wide receivers are going to be Cooks and Hogan, and then I think Amendola is going to be the third guy, and then you might get some change, but I think Hogan's going to be the motion guy, the matchup guy, and I think he's good at that.
And that's both actual motion and
ghost motion. Yeah.
What do you expect with the accoutrement? How the league's going to handle Goodell? Are we going to see him? How's the broadcast going to handle it? All that stuff. I know that's usually not your purview because that's a little too interesting. You'd rather talk about the backup lineman, but
it becomes clickbait.
It becomes actually something people want to talk about and read. But I'm going to ask you to lower yourself here just for a second and discuss the atmosphere and what you're expecting with that tomorrow night.
I think it's going to be brutal, and I think they are going to show him. They're going to pick their spots.
They're going to show him in stadium. They have to.
Yes.
I mean, let's make it count.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, Goodell has always taken pride in sitting among the fans. Again, he's not going to be sitting among the fans at the Patriots game.
No, he'll be taking photos with him on Twitter.
Is he going to walk the field before the game?
I would expect so.
Yes. Do it. Mm-hmm. Walk the field before the game. Absolutely. And take it. And just take all the chirping. And that's just, you know, be a man.
I wonder if there's going to be an issue with
the
Barstool towels.
Well, you out there, don't be stupid. You know, if you do anything other than just chirp them, then you ruin the whole thing because then you're the bad guy when he's supposed to be the bad guy.
Well, no, I hope that fans ultimately will be satisfied because, yeah, he owes it to us to come here.
Can't promise nothing, Maz.
Yeah, come take your medicine, Goodell. Come take your scissor.
What do you mean about the towels?
Well, I mean, I don't know where David is going to distribute those. Is he going to be doing it in the parking lot on private property of the Patriots? How are the crafts going to feel about that? I think there could be an issue there.
My prediction, we'll have David Portnoy on the CSN pregame show tomorrow. Okay, so if you're not listening here on the radio to Beadle and Gasper, if you're watching on CSN, Portnoy's going to join us at our location at the stadium. Maybe we'll have him come on the radio earlier. What the hell, he's going to be there.
I'd hand him out on Route 1 if I were him.
No, but that's interesting. If the crafts allow him to do it in their parking lot, how does the league feel about that? And should the crafts be doing that? Should they be inciting, you know, blah, blah, blah? I mean, it's an interesting question.
I wonder if Patriot security is going to be out there trying to confiscate, you know, the boxes or whatever they're doing.
My prediction is the towels are going to be a fizzle. I just, maybe for the very reason you said, it's not like, you know, usually towels, there's big vats of them at the turnstiles when you walk into the stadium and everyone gets one and everyone knows where they are.
Right.
It's a very orderly, like one-to-one process. I never really thought of that. Like,
I mean, plus this stadium is a lot different than most where, you know,
is
the parking situation.
Is Portnoy going to have 28 or, you know, 36 people stationed at every entrance to the stadium?
Will.
Do you think so?
Well, I don't know where he's going to have people. I don't know where they're going to be. where...
I mean, it's got to be an operation.
Yeah, I think he tweeted about it. I got to look.
Yeah, we're going to give him out at Davio's.
I've heard Zoe talk about this, too. He's got a bunch of people that have just hit him up and volunteered to say, yeah, he'd be happy to do this.
I'm sure, yeah. He won't be lacking for that.
Yeah, before you go in the stadium, stop at the Bass Pro Shop and pick up a towel. 70,000 people going through the Bass Pro Shop. Oh, that's brilliant.
Everyone wearing jorts and a brewski jersey. drinking a Bud Light. All right, so what's your prediction tomorrow night?
Patriots. I mean, I don't have a score yet, but Patriots. I think they'll win pretty handily.
I'm taking the points.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going with the Chiefs in the points.
What is the line?
Eight and a half.
Yeah, I'm taking the points.
I'm telling you, the Edelman absence.
Meaning you're laying the points. You think the Pats will win by more than 8.5?
Yes, I'm laying the points. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm taking them. I'm taking KC plus 8.5. Kansas City's good at losing by just enough.
Exactly. So we will continue with this conversation. Greg, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
We appreciate it.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Has this ever happened to you? You put some money in a savings account with a great rate. But that promotional savings rate came crashing down. You deserve better. Take just 5 minutes and open a Capital One savings account online. You'll get one of the nation's best rates that's not a promotional rate. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2017 Capital One.